This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. So, Parsha Shir tonight is Kisisa. The three items to share. The first one is a Beis Halevi, a beautiful Beis Halevi, which discusses the Egel HaZahav. Now, I know it's the day after Purim, and everyone's a little bit tired, but it's a beautiful Beis Halevi, and Kol HaKavod for being here, despite the craziness of yesterday, Baruch Hashem. But it's a long piece to go through, but it's majestic, it's beautiful, and I'd like to try and go through it fairly quickly, but seeing it inside, in the text, is the best way of doing it. And then a couple of other very interesting ideas. So the major question that the Beis Halevi asks, which of course many of the Mefarshim grapple with, is how could it be? How could Klal Yisrael, the Dor Dea, one of the great generations throughout Jewish history, how could they fall to this Aveira of the Egel HaZahav? And then a question he deals with at the end, in Parshas Pekudei, next week is a double Parsha, Vayechol Pekudei, the phrase Kashetzivu Hashem Es Moshe is used repeatedly. Now, why? How does that connect? So you'll see how it connects it very beautifully. Take a look at the Beis Halevi. If you're listening online, please email me at j.goldberg@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Says the Beis Halevi, V'hine, B'maise ha'egel, kva dibru rabim, many have already discussed this and asked the question, Maro Yisrael al kocha, what did Klal Yisrael see in this? How could the generation, of knowledge, stumble over this sin? Next paragraph. Vashenire, diyoduat bechol mitzvah, in every mitzvah, yesh bo taimim v'kavonos haroimzim l'soydos nistarim. There are many secrets. We do something, I put on tefillin, that's creating pipelines to Shemayim that are not visible, but then they contain many deep secrets within them. V'al-yidei kiyum ha-mitzvah, and by performing this physical act, na'asim tikunim v'sudarim b'chol ha'olam ha'elyonim. That's activating lots of effect in upper worlds. K'mavua kol zeh b'sifrei ha-rishonim, like is brought in many of the rishonim. V'hinei, nitpois l'dimyoin mitzvah shel meleches ha-mishkon. Let's take a good example, the meleches ha-mishkon. Shehoye bo ha-shras shchina v'gilu kvod yisbarach. Once the Mishkan was completed, that's going to bring about the Hashra of the Shechina and the revelation of the Kvod of the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halavada shekol ma shenase boi b'chol protov yesh boi tamim ne'elomim. Clearly, there's lots of deep hidden secrets here. Asher rak b'hishtalim boi kol ha'protim, that once it's all completed, oz ho'yeroi l'Hashra Shechina Kvod Yisbarach. Once it's all completed, there's many secrets which enables the Hashra of Hashem Shechina to appear in the Mishkan. The Mishkan kule bichlaloi v'chol kelov kol echol b'prat reimzim l'soyd esalyonim. The Mishkan generally, and all the vessels of the keli of the Mishkan in particular, in part, reimzim l'soyd esalyonim. They hint, they allude to great secrets. The sisrei ma'aseh merkava v'sidrei ma'aseh bereishis. All the great, lofty, esoteric ideas of Ma'aseh Merkava, of Ma'aseh Bereishis, v'kodel kol ha'alamis v'hiskashrusom zeh b'zeh, and it connects all types of worlds together, v'avuzeh, ho'yemok ha'muchan ha'shras ha'shchina, and thereby the Shechina comes down. Next paragraph. V'hinei l'chayra, ya'ale b'daso adam, l'fiseichel ha'enoishi, human intellect would suggest, asher im ho'ya nimtze ba'olim adam miyuchad, asher kva bo b'soyd Hashem. If you have a person who is exposed to the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yodeya soyde sidri bereishis merkava, he knows the secrets of Ma'aseh Bereishis and the Ma'aseh Merkava, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yuchel lahavim me'atz mehem heich la'asos ha-mishkan b'chol ha-pratim shabai. He would know very well how to use all the details, the aspects, the parts of the Mishkan to create this Mishkan. He would know from beginning to end exactly how to do it. And he would know exactly how to build this Mishkan. Once the Jewish people saw the Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the intermediary between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not there, He wasn't coming back in their eyes. Rotzu lasis mokum miyuchot shiyem esugel ashebuya hashrosh knosek. They wanted to make a sort of a meeting point, a focus of where they're going to get hashrosh hashchina, or kamoed be'emes hayachre kein b'mishkan, which really what was going to happen with the mishkan. They wanted to understand the act which they were creating. They didn't want to rely on their own knowledge. They therefore went to Aaron HaKohen, who was the greatest of them. He knew the depths, the secrets of the Mishkan more than anyone else. And therefore they said to him, help us make this central person, the central aspect where we're going to enable Hashras Hashchina. They were intending, well, they wanted there to be Hashras Hashchina. Their intention was good. That thereby they would create the Shechina. The Shechina of Kedvar Mele al Sefer. Maybe someone before me says the Beis HaLevi has said this, but I'm saying this on my own back, but perhaps someone has said this before me. Omnom, next paragraph. Ta'u bazeh ta'us echod. There was one major mistake. Dehein emes demaise odem bo'ilam hatachdun gerim tikkunim sitarim toivim b'chol ho'ilam kulam. It's true. When a person does mitzvahs and does the acts in this world, it's connects upper worlds, it has effects on upper worlds. There's no question. Why? Ki kein goza haburi sporach asher ha'olamos yu misnahagim al pi maaseh odom b'zeh ha'olam. Only because Hashem has so demanded and designed. Omnom kol zehu rakim oisa ha'maaseh tzivse olav ha'torah la'soisa. But that's only true if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded it. So he's commanded me to put on tefillin. He's commanded me to shake a lulav or whatever it may be. That is going to have an effect on all the upper worlds and all the depths of the secrets of what I'm doing, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded. Rak oz asher tzivam Hashem la'asoysoi b'chol protov v'oz k'shekimu tzivu la'asoysoi k'chol asher tzivam. And then, when we have fulfilled it in detail to the letter, oz na'asu ha'kol ha'tikunim l'mayla, then all the tikunim, all the effects can happen in the higher realms. Now in the zuchus that we fulfilled the detailed instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's perfect that is the place where there's going to be Hashras Hashchina. Avol, next paragraph. But if a person does it on his own back, not that he's been instructed to do it, then that action is not going to help at all. Then it's not going to affect anything. Because the reason why it works is because you are doing the rotzon of Hashem. And without that, it's just human contemplation. And all the cleverness that you are invoking is nothing. If you're doing something which you've not been instructed to do, then it's a tremendous chate. And therefore they stumbled and an eagle was created. And we know what happened. Pirush, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he begged forgiveness for the Jewish people, he said, Pirush, what he meant was, ultimately, they weren't doing it to turn away from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chalila. Rak adarabe, ikah adova hi lesibas chashukosom shiyeh karvoso elecho lohem. Really, they were just trying to get close to you. But they were doing something which was not instructed, but they were trying to tap in to these higher worlds. Ubazen novin, next paragraph, madam Parshas Pekudei, and that explains why next week, in Parshas Pekudei, they'll call prat or prat on every stage and every detail of the Mishkan, val maisa or maisa, she'osu b'mishkan, kosum afurish kat tzivo Hashem es Moshe, v'tevas halalu k'suvim kimat b'chol pasuk apasuk. That phrase is used repeatedly, kimat in every pasuk. She'bo yisip hasha v'haladovu, what a strange thing. Rak ha'inyan, last paragraph, ta'ha maisa ha'mishkan, haribola chape aleim ha'maisa egal. because that was the purpose, that was the function of the Mishkan, to atone for the Egel. They sinned because they pulled off their rings and their gold. How do you atone for it? By giving to the Mishkan. What? Dafka the Nezomim, etc. The Kivan de Ike Chaton Be'egel Hoyimash Rotsul Ischake Me'atzum Lasis Hapi Yidiosum Chachmosom, since the root of the sin of the Egel was to independently, of their own minds, of their own volition, was to try and use their Chachma, their Yidia, to make this thing. Maisa Asher Lo Nitzdava Olav, something which they were not commanded to do. Velozer B'maisa HaMishkan Shebo Lechapeh. Now, when they're doing it next time round, everything is kasher tziva Hashem. As if to say, yes, Bezalel knew how all the secrets of creation, and he could do things using letters and osius, which are building blocks, to join heaven and earth. And he knew all the secrets in his work. Im kol zeh, he was not doing it because he knew how to do it on his own, but solely because kasher tziva Hashem. What was the ultimate kapara? That they did it because they were commanded to do it. So in other words, imagine, I'll give you a moshel. Imagine you've got an electric appliance. You've got a hairdryer. And you plug it into the plug, and you put it on. There's a whole electrical circuit going on, and you press it on, and then it blows hot air. The electrical appliance works. You can have a person who understands engineering, physics, whatever it is, and he can, you know, create this hairdryer. But if it's not plugged in, you've got a hairdryer, it's not going to have an effect. You can have all the aspects of the Mishkan, but if it's not kasher tziva Hashem, it's not plugged in, it's not a Mishkan. And therefore, they could try and connect on their own minds exactly how to do everything, but their mistake was, it wasn't what Hashem had commanded. And therefore, they meant well, they intended well, but ultimately, because it was not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, it was like an unplugged appliance. And therefore, it's actually worse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, I didn't want this. You can't use your own intellect to design and create this. And therefore, the damage came out. And the kapara to it was that we know how to do these things, but we're only doing it because you said. And therefore, the kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe is going to appear in Parshas Pekudei, posuk after posuk. So therefore, that's a sort of a different approach to the chet of the egel, but a very interesting one nonetheless. Okay, let's press on. There's an article biography of Reb Scheinberg. And in this biography, I came across something once where it tells the story of Aryeh Zev Ginsberg, who's a famous Rav in America, and he was very close to Rav Scheinberg for many years. And it tells the story of how he first got close to him. He was a bacher learning in Eretz Yisrael, and they had a question. He was learning wherever he was learning, and the bacher, he was an unmarried man then, they had a question in the deer in the flat they were staying, and they picked him to go and ask Rav Scheinberg. So he went over one Friday afternoon to Rav Scheinberg to ask this question, and he introduced himself and he says, the Rosh Yeshiva knows my father. My father's Avraham Ginsberg, and he was a baker in New York, and when Rav Scheinberg was the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, the Rav Avraham Ginsberg had a bakery, it's called the Ginsberg Bakery in Bensonhurst, and he provided cake and bread for the yeshiva for Torah Ur in its early years. And Scheinberg was so pleased to meet the son of Avraham Ginsberg. He said, you've got to stay for Shabbos. So he said, but I'm not ready for Shabbos. So he says, okay, so you'll come back for Shabbos. His wife, Rebbetzin Scheinberg, was so insistent that he would come back that she made him give him his watch as collateral, as a mashkin. And you'll get it back when you come for Shabbos. When you come in an hour's time, go home, get changed, get ready for Shabbos, then come back. And that was the beginning of a 35-year relationship that Aryeh Zev Ginsberg had with Rav Scheinberg. Now, Aryeh Zev always wondered why why Reb Sheinberg maintained such a close relationship with children, grandchildren, sometimes even great-grandchildren of his Talmidim. And he said he came across an answer from Reb Sheinberg himself, and it's based on a pasuk in this week's Sedra. Take a look at the paragraph 2. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Egel HaZov is going on in the mountain, down below. Moshe Rabbeinu is still on the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Lech reid ki shicheis amcha. Go down because your people have corrupted, they've spoiled things. Asher leisim eretz Yisrael, the people that you brought out of Egypt. Now, on that, says Rashi, Lech reid, go down, migdulascha, from your greatness. Why? What does Rashi mean? Lo nosati lecha gedula lebishvilam. I only gave you, Moshe Rabbeinu, greatness because of the Jewish people. You're the leader of the Jewish people. Your greatness emanates from them. But Eisashon is not a Moshe Mipi based in Shalmala. On that point, Moshe Rabbeinu has sort of become evicted from the based in Shalmala. Reb Sheinberg says a very powerful thing. What do you see from this Rashi? That a Rebbe must show Hakoras HaTov to the Talmidim because his greatness is due in a large part to those Talmidim. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu, his greatness is because of Klal Yisrael, so too a Rebbe, his greatness is because of his Talmidim. Without the Talmidim, he wouldn't be who he was. And therefore, Reb Sheinberg would show tremendous kavod for the children, the grandchildren, like I say, even sometimes the great-grandchildren of his Talmidim, because he had so much hakaras hatov to his Talmidim, because ultimately it was the Talmidim who made him who he was. And you sometimes see the converse as well. I remember some years ago I mentioned this story, that Reb Moshe Feinstein one time heard that the grandson of his own Rebbe, of Reb Pesach Prushkin, was getting married. And he decided he was invited to the chassan, he's going to send him a gift. And he wrote him a check for $500. The chassan gets this check. And again, Reb Moshe, this is going back several decades. Even now, that's a very generous gift, certainly from Rosh Shiva. And he looked at it and he thought it was a mistake. Maybe he meant $5, maybe he meant $50, but certainly not $500. So he went to Ramesha, sometime later, and he said, I'm very grateful for the gift, but I think Rosh Shiva's made a mistake, because he wrote the check for $500. So Ramesha said to him, I didn't make a mistake. He said, that gift is, I wrote $500, I meant $500. He said, you don't understand, your Zayda is my Rebbe. My debt of Hakoras HaTov to your Zayda is immeasurable. If I could, I'd write a check for $5,000. But I haven't got that money. But this is what I can give you. And it's just a token of my appreciation for what your Zayda gave me. So astonishing. So you see, the converse is true as well. Not only does a Rebbe show Hakoras HaTov to Talmidim, because in a large part, the greatness is due to the Talmidim, but also the Talmidim should show a certain gratefulness for their Rebbe. And that's exactly what Ramesha was showing. Okay, let's finish with one last idea. This idea is one of the Bnei Yisrael. I saw it in Rabbi Bernstein. He made reference to this, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. It's a fabulous idea of the Bnei Yisrael, something which was new to me. And I'm looking forward to share it with you. The Pasuk says, Vayavar Hashem al Ponov. Moshe Rabbeinu is now begging for forgiveness for the Jewish people. And the stakes are high, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I want to destroy the Jewish people. And we'll start again with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu selflessly says, Mecheni no mesifricha, and he begs for forgiveness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches him to say the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, which is something which we use, of course, over the Yom Neroim, the Slichas period, repeatedly. Says the Pasuk, Vayavar Hashem al Ponov Vayikra, words which we're very familiar with, the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun. So let's think, there's 13 Midas there. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, Erech HaPayim, V'rav Chesed V'emes, Vnake. 13, these are the Yud Gimel Midas. But the Pasuk actually says, Vnake lo yinake. If you really continue the book. Now we put a comma after Vnake, but we're literally breaking the Pasuk halfway. And the actual Pasuk says, Vnake lo yinake, that he won't clean away the sin. So Rashi is aware of the problem. And the Pshat approach is very, very difficult. Because, it's saying, Renake lo yanake, which ostensibly means he doesn't completely cleanse the person, which is a very strange thing, because this is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. This seems to limit Hashem's mercy in the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem, you know, v'nakeh lo yinakeh, he won't completely. And therefore Rashi mentions the pshutay. V'nakeh lo yinakeh, says Rashi, if he pshutah mashma she'en le'mavate ala oven legamri, he doesn't totally forgive. And a nifra memen ma'at ma'at, and therefore he sort of relieves it slowly in that way. But the pshutah is very difficult, because if you're saying that he doesn't completely cleanse, lashon of nikoyin, of cleaning, that limits the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, Hashem's mercy in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. It's very strange. So therefore, Rashi goes on and he quotes the Drash. The Drash is based on a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pevov. V'rabaseinu darshu menakehu lashovim v'lo yinake l'sheinim shovim. What does that mean? You parse it differently. V'nakeh lo yinakeh as follows. V'nakeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cleanse fully. He'll wipe away the sin, lashovim, if you do tshuva. And he won't cleanse it, he won't clean it away for those who don't do tshuva. Okay, and therefore the drash approach is adopted by Rashi, because the pshat approach is seemingly difficult. Now, adkan, that's just a posuk, that's Rashi in a posuk in this week's Sedra. Comes along the Bnei Yisrael and says something astonishing, and he's quoting his mechutan, we'll sit inside in a second, who said this idea. We know there's Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. That's Hashem, Hashem, Karach, Mechanan. There's also another set of Yud Gimel, and that's the Yud Gimel Midas Shehatoru Nidreshes Bohen. Now, what is that? Every man who goes to shul in the morning knows this. This is, we start off with Pesukah de Zimra. At the beginning of Pesukah de Zimra, you say brachos. In Eretz Yisrael, sometimes you start off with a Rishmol Omer, you start with Baruch She'omah. But in most shuls here in the UK and around the world, you start off with brachos. Shul is called for 7 o'clock, 7:30. That means brachas is 7 o'clock. Okay. Or Bishmol Omer. What's Bishmol Omer? It's the very end of brachas before Baruch Sh'omah Mizmer Shir. Here it is. Look at the third box on the page. Bishmol Omer. Bishleish Yisrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes. The Torah is extrapolated, is expounded on through 13 tools, mechanisms. Aleph, Mikal V'Chomer. That's one. Two, Gzeirah Shavah, etc., etc. The 13th one is, there are different girsas, either the v'chein or v'chan. Shnei k'suvim ha'machishim ze'ezeh. If you've got two psukim which contradict each other, ad she'yova kosov ha'shlishi v'achriya b'nem. Until a third posuk comes along and clarifies this contradiction. That's the 13th middah of which, through which the Torah is nidreshes, through which the Torah is expounded. And then it finishes off, yirosim v'necha sh'mokenim v'la v'ksenim sh'yiponim v'samigdash, etc., etc. And then a kaddish is said. Yeah, a kaddish after that. Okay. Now, that's well known. Says the Bnei Yisrael, there is a parallel between the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim and the 13 Midas Shan Torah Nidreshes Bohen. Which, astonishing, who's ever made that connection? Take a look, this is an amazing Bnei Yisrael. It's in his Maimah, in Chodesh El Maimah Beis, in Eischess. V'kiven shebosi lichlal zeh, ledabrem inyon Yud Gimel Midas Shan Torah Nidreshes, since I was talking anyway about the Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah Nidreshes. Sheheim mafteches mekuvonos liftoach alidein lo'ireh ha-Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. K'meshik osulel. There is a parallel between the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim and the Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah Nidreshes bohen. Hine, lo'yachid omriam. Therefore, I mentioned this in passing. I'm going to just add one point. Lo'yachid omri kodesh divrei mechutoni. Kvoid harav hakodesh mar tzodzei chesadli v'kodesh roch. I'm not sure who that is. Asher omer bebrayse Rabbi Shmuel, omer besof ha-Yud Gimel Midas. With regard to this, it's called the brayse of Rabbi Shmuel. The last one is shnei k'suvim ha-machishim zezer, v'yov ha-kos v'shishim v'achri b'nehem. Hine, ha-mefarshu kosfu, tevas kan hu k'moi v'chein. Like I said before, some have the girs of v'chein, some have the girs of v'chan. Avol gam tevas v'chein ein lo biur. It should just say, like the first one is Kal v'chomer gzeira shava, it should just say Shnei k'suvim ha-machishim zeh. Why does it say v'chein or v'kan? Why does it say that? V'gam loma le'omer v'chein rak v'kan. What's that all about? V'omahu, this is what my mechutan said, he said. Tehine, ha-midah yud gimel b'toreh hu v'nakeh lo'yenakeh. What's the 13th yud gimel midas ha-rachmim? This v'nakeh lo'yenakeh from this week's Sedra. V'hine b'gemara raminan, the Gemara has a contradiction. He says, the Gemara in Yuma says, what does this pasuk mean? Ne'ma v'nake, v'ne'ma v'lo yinake. Hashem will cleanse the sin. Hashem won't cleanse the sin. Which one is it? Ha'ketzad, how can it be? Answers the Gemara there in Yuma, which is the drash which Rashi quoted, Menakehu lashovim, v'lo yenake l'sheinu shovim. It will cleanse for the guy who does tshuva. It will not cleanse for the guy who doesn't do tshuva. That's the Gemara in Yuma, Peiv Amud Aleph. V'nire, shelomdu hadova min ha-yud gimel midas shenema micha. This is based on the Yud Gimel Midas, which Micha says. Remember this? In the psukim of Mi Kel Kamoicha, which we say when we go to Tashlich, Mi El Kamoicha, and they say Avoin, Over Al Pesha, Shehein Mechuvonet, Yud Gimel Midas, Sheba Teira, Ki Yodu Al Maskilim, for those who are wise, based on a Zohar, he quotes, everyone knows that connection. Now, what is the 13th on Mi Kel Kamoicha when we go to Tashlich? What is the 13th Midah? The 13th Midah is Mimei Kedem, says the last paragraph there of the Bnei Yisoscha, Shehu Mechuvan Keneged V'Nake Lo Yinake. The Mimei Kedem, which is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, corresponds to V'Nake Lo Yinake. What's the correspondence? Hu Remez El HaTshuva. Mimei Kedem is a reference to Tshuva. Shekidma La'olam. Kedem is preceded the world. Like the Gemara says, that Tshuva was created before the world was created. Vahu hamachriya, and that is what is solving our problem. Shnei ksuvim haboim ke'echad, you've got two psukim which contradict each other. Yovei hakosav ha-shlishi u'machriya b'nem. This pasuk of Mimei Kedem is machriya. Demashikosav b'torah v'nake lo yinake, desosn adod, you've got two psukim, nake lo yinake, which are contradicting each other. Humishum da'kol toli b'tshuva. The answer is, everything depends on tshuva. V'zeo sh'oma hatana b'soif midah yud gimel, sh'u mechuvan v'hamavteyach l'midas v'nake lo yinake. The key to v'nake lo yinake is v'kan, i.e. hainu hamidah hazos. This midah, this yud gimel midah, is the key, which is machriya, the problem of v'nake lo yinake. Shnei k'sum machishim zeh. You've got two psukim which are contradicting each other. Hainu ne'ma v'nake v'ne'ma lo yinake. Ad sheyova kosav ha-shlishi, until you have the third posuk, i.e. shel micha v'hainu mimei kedem, the 13th, that third posuk, i.e. the mimei kedem, ha-rei mezel ha-tshuva, which hints to tshuva, i.e. which is kidma la'olam, shenivras kidem la'olam, which came before the world was created, u'machriya b'neihem, lo melecho, shakol toli b'tshuva. Menakehu la'shovim, ve'inim menakeh l'sheinim shovim. Ad kan divrei, these are the words of my mechutin, he says, v'divrei pi chochom chein, these are wonderful words. So an amazing idea. You've got an inherent problem in the pasuk in this week's Sedra. Hashem Hashem kel rachem v'chaner chavayim. The 13th one is v'nakeh l'yinakeh. So the posh pshat is that he doesn't completely cleanse. That doesn't sound like Yud Gil Midas HaRachamim. Elamai, you've got to come onto the drash. What's the drash? V'nakeh la'shovim, ve'einem menakeh l'sheinem shovim. If you do tshuva, it will cleanse. If you don't do tshuva, it won't cleanse. Says the Bnei Yisoscha, that corresponds to the Yud Gimel Midah Shah Torah addresses bohen. What is the 13th Midah which the Torah, with the tools which the Torah uses? The 13th one is, Shnei Ksum HaMachishim Zed Zed Atshev HaKosum HaShish B'Yachir B'neihem. The third posuk will come along and will clarify the discrepancy, the contradiction. The third posuk, as it were, is Mimei Kedem, which is a reference to tshuva, which is precedes the creation of the world, and that is going to clarify the contradiction of the 13th Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, Menake v'lo yinake, and it's that 13th tool of Yovach Kos v'Shishi v'Achriya b'neihem, which is going to clarify that everything depends on tshuva. So now we understand the correspondence. Astonishing. And that's why it says v'kan, we're going to apply shnei k'sum ha-machishim zeh-zeh v'asher v'kosh v'shem. That's why it says v'kan, here we're going to invoke this shnei k'sum ha-boim ke'echod, because Mimei Kedem is going to expose and clarify the 13th midah v'nake lo yinake, and therefore that entitles us to say nake if you're shovim, lo yinake if you're ain't shovim. A very creative interpretation of the Bnei Yisoscha. So there we have it. The Beis Halevi, his mahalach in Egel HaZohav, a very beautiful idea, and then the importance of the greatness of the Rebbe Shoshua HaKorosh HaTotal, his Tamidim, because his greatness in Jew is due in a large part to them, and then this last idea of the 13th attribute of the Yud Gimel Midas of the Bnei Yisoscha. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.